Let us pray. Lord, on this Palm Sunday, we gather together and we pray for your blessing upon us as we remember how you came into Jerusalem and how you were greeted by the men and women and children who proclaimed, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen.
Good morning, church. Please join me in the responsive call to worship as printed in your bulletin. Awake to the day of triumph for our Savior. Give thanks for this day that leads to the cross. Come with your branches, hosannas, and songs. Fill the air with welcome to the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 197 and join us in singing Hosanna, loud Hosannas.
I welcome you all here for our Palm Sunday service. And at this time, let's take a moment to greet our neighbors around us and to pass the peace of Christ. It is so good that we can be here together worshiping the Lord, and we especially welcome all of our guests who are with us, and we hope that you'll sign the friendship pad so that we might know of your presence with us. Right after this time, we'll be having a time for fellowship and refreshments right next door, and we invite everyone to come on over. Today is a special offering day, the one great hour of sharing, and you'll see some information in your bulletin. Some bulletins may have offering envelopes. We ran a little short, so you can use an envelope in the pew, one of the white envelopes, and just write one great hour on there. But this is a wonderful offering that goes to help people around the world who have suffered from disasters and tragedies. Even today, it's gone to help in Syria with the Christian church there rebuild 40 homes for people who want to stay in the land that they love. And that was a wonderful mission opportunity for the Syrian church, as we especially remember them today. And a portion of our offering will go to help, for example, the Presbyterian Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, that was greatly damaged when it was struck by a tornado last spring, March 2016. There's so many needs right now in Hattiesburg. They lost their Salvation Army Center. They lost their Center for the Boys and Girls Club. This is why this offering is important. These are all centers that help those who are in need in this small community of about 40,000 people. So the church there is helping with rebuilding efforts, and our one great hour of sharing offering will be of great help to the people there. This time, let us continue on with our worship service. Let us now go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you today and praise your holy name. We thank you so much that you came to dwell among us, and that you were willing to go to the cross for us because you loved us so much. We thank you, Lord, that you are our loving Savior. Lord Jesus, we welcome you this Sunday into Jerusalem, and we pray that you'd give us what we need to welcome you into each of our lives. You come to us with an identity and a mission that we did not expect. We want glory from you. You came to us as a lowly servant. We thought that you had arrived among us to solve all of our problems. You brought to us problems we would have never had without you. We expected you to answer all of our questions about God. You raised among us questions about God that we had never asked. Lord, give us the gifts to walk this whole week, this entire way, with you. Instill among us a love for you that enables us to obey you, to follow you, regardless of our preconceptions and expectations of you. Lord, we hold up in our hearts, especially this week, the people in the Middle East. We pray for the church in Syria, that you would be with our brothers and sisters there, and as they seek to help the people who are suffering. And Lord, we pray that this morning you'd be with the Christian church in Egypt that has been attacked. We pray, Lord, that you would give them strength so that they might continue to maintain a Christian witness for you. Lord, there are so many needs. Be with all those who are struggling today. Be with all those who are sick. and all those who are bereaved. Comfort them, Lord, with the promises of Easter. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand now and sing another Palm Sunday hymn, a hymn of praise, number 196, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Please be seated. Remember on that first Palm Sunday when the people shouted with joy when Jesus arrived and they put their coats in the road for his donkey to step on to prepare the way, and they waved palm branches in celebration. Let us now bring our tithes and our offerings, like the ancient people did, to our Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you for your great love for us, how you came to save us. And we pray now that you would bless our offerings and use them to help with human need, and also that others might come to experience the peace that you bring to those who trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Today our New Testament scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of God. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Here ends the reading of our scripture lesson. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and this account of Palm Sunday. We pray now that you would open our hearts and minds to the truths that we see here. And help us, Lord, to follow you more closely. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. To be a Christian today means that we follow a Savior that we did not expect. Jesus was somebody that was so different from our expectations. And we call this Palm Sunday, and we approach it with a sense of joy, but it's also known as Passion Sunday because we wonder, how could things change so quickly in 1 week that the crowd recognizes that Jesus is the king of the Jews, that he is the king. And then later on, they are shouting, "Crucify him. Crucify him." How could this happen? Matthew, in his account, points out that we need to look at this and to see the significance of the prophecy from Zechariah. And I want to read this prophecy to you, which Matthew includes in his story from Zechariah, beginning with chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumph and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That is shocking. It's shocking because that's not the way they expected their Savior to come to them. They did not expect the Messiah to be riding a donkey, maybe a white stallion, a horse of war against the Roman Empire. This is not what they expected. And it's also shocking that the prophet goes on to say, he will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This was shocking. The prophet here is saying the Messiah, the Savior, will be a king of peace. He will not be a warrior king, but he will be the king of peace, the prince of peace for us. And so, with these shocking words, we see how quickly people turned against Jesus. He is our Messiah, but he is not the king that we expected. And today, as we hear this beautiful music presented, it is a time for us to reflect and to think about what kind of Messiah is Jesus? What does he mean for our lives today? And think about this Holy Week, how Jesus went from Palm Sunday to the cross, and how Jesus said to us, if you want to be my disciple, count the cost and pick up your cross and follow me. Let's listen now to this beautiful music and reflect on what kind of king Jesus is.
In The Gospel of John reminds us that the Word, Jesus, existed from the very beginning with God. Through Jesus, all things came to be. In him was life, and that life was light for all people.
But the Gospel also tells us that the world did not recognize him. Coexistent with and sent from an eternal loving God, many still could not accept that Jesus was the one the prophets had foretold, the promised one of God.
But to those who did recognize, believe, and receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of the living God.
To those with seeking hearts, humble spirits, and eyes of faith, it became readily apparent that this Jesus was indeed the fulfillment of age-old prophecies. He was the long-awaited Messiah, the King of all kings.
But to others, Jesus was perceived to be an impostor, a fraud. He was no conquering king coming to establish his reign with strength and power. His message was one of peace and forgiveness, not battle victories and defeated enemies.
Even his closest friends and devoted followers seemed confused at times about who this Jesus truly was.
And he asked his questions.
3 years of ministry, Jesus the Christ had touched the lives of thousands of individuals. Some came to seek healing, others sought forgiveness. Some knew not what they were seeking, but were attracted to his teachings. But to each, Jesus extended the same invitation: turn from your sins and follow me.
Jesus returned to Jerusalem for the last time, just days before the Jewish Passover feast. He was greeted by a great crowd of his followers. They joyously ushered him into the city with shouts of, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of glory."
Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates, ye everlasting doors.
Fling open wide your hearts and greet the coming.
Speculation abounded about Jesus in the following days leading to the Passover feast. Skeptics doubted that this man from Galilee was who he said he was, or that he could actually heal the blind, calm raging seas, and raise people from the dead.
Jesus gathered his disciples one last time in an upper room to share the Passover feast and to help them prepare for that which was about to transpire.
He watched their feet, imparting to them the powerful lesson that they were to live a life of service to others, just as he had. As Jesus broke bread and shared the cup with them, he challenged them to remember him in this same way after he was gone.
What kind of king acts like this, kneeling as a humble servant, talking about his impending death, and instructing his followers to remember him in such a way?
Is this king?
royalty is typically surrounded by the most loyal of supporters. This king, however, had just predicted betrayal by some of his closest followers.
Raw emotions punctuated the night as Jesus and his disciples proceeded to Gethsemane to pray. In his grief, Jesus sought solace and strength in this familiar setting, surrounded by the love of his heavenly Father and the companionship of his dearest friends.
In these darkest moments of his life, Jesus resolutely accepted the charge that had been his alone to bear, to give his life in order that others might ultimately live.
To the Gethsemane.
Betrayed with a kiss, Jesus had been arrested and taken to stand trial. Armed with battle gear and false accusations, his captors handed Jesus over to the authorities with intent to put an end to this self-proclaimed prophet and to his absurd claims.
Isaiah had painted this scene many years before. He was despised and rejected. He was oppressed and afflicted. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter.
Rejected and alone, Jesus stood quietly as his accusers made a mockery of his life and ministry.
Jewish leaders and Roman officials pulled Jesus back and forth in rude attempts to pass off the responsibility of his ultimate sentence.
In one final effort, Pilate, the Roman governor, tried to release Jesus, indicating that he found no basis for charges against him. But the crowd, which only those days before celebrated Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem, now had been replaced by shouts of anger, hatred, and calls for his crucifixion.
In the end, the wishes of an angry mob prevailed. Jesus was handed over to the Roman soldiers to be executed.
Forced to carry his own cross, Jesus walked before persons on both sides of faith, those claiming him to be their Lord, Messiah, and King, and those convinced he was a blasphemous fraud.
Jesus was led to the place of the skull, where he was nailed to the cross to die a common criminal's death. In one final act of mockery, Pilate had instructed that a sign be mounted on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.
Jesus, Son of you, of faith.
In a loud voice, Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and then he died.
It was now the first day of the week. Some of the women had gone to the tomb where Jesus had been buried.
Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, and the stone in front of the tomb was rolled back, and an angel sat on it.
The angel said, "I know that you are seeking Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Quickly, go and tell his disciples that Jesus is alive."
It had been anticipated the Messiah would come with strength, conquering his foes with power and might, and that is precisely what had happened.
But his foes were not the kingdoms and governments of the world. The foes had been sin, evil, and illness. And in his grandest victory, King Jesus, by the power of God, had defeated death itself. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Crown him the risen King.
Sign is royal crown, the son of mercy travels.
We thank our chancel choir for that wonderful cantata. We appreciate our music director, Sabrina, for her fine direction. And we especially appreciate our narrators, Dawn and Anne, who also did a beautiful job. And thank you so much. And now may the grace and the peace and the love of Jesus Christ go with you all. Amen.